All right, off to Georgia we go. A Georgia grand jury, thankfully, has indicted both a father and son in that mass shooting at Appalachie High School several months ago. WAGATV is reporting, among other outlets, that a grand jury first indicted 14-year-old Colt Gray today on a total of 55 counts, including four counts of malice murder. One teacher died in that shooting, I believe, and three students. I'd have to go back and look. So the 14-year-old that is the accused shooter,
I thought it was two and two, but okay.
was indicted on 55 counts, all right?
Okay.
But wait for it. His father, Colin Gray, faces 29 counts, including second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and reckless conduct. They are going after him for the murders as well, and I am thrilled for it.
What specifically is dad charged with?
Oh, let me just tell you. 29 counts, second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter, and reckless conduct, and here is why. They're both in jail. Investigators testified that the 14-year-old carried a semi-automatic assault-style rifle on the school bus that morning with the barrel sticking out of his book bag wrapped up in a poster board. Mm-hmm. Okay? He left his second period class, came back from the bathroom, and then what we know happened. All right? Teachers Richard Aspinwall, Christina Ermey, you're correct, two teachers, and students Mason and Christian, both boys, 14, both died. So four total, two teachers, two kids. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. Both parents long had signs that Colt Gray was, quote, troubled. In fact, his dad was interviewed about an online threat in May of 2023 linked to his son. Okay?
Okay.
Investigators say at some point the child had a severe anxiety attack, and a counselor reported that he was having suicidal thoughts and rocked and shook uncontrollably while in her office. Okay? Colt's mother, you remember, did not live with them, Scott.
Right.
She told investigators she had argued with his dad, asking him to please secure his guns and restrict access to those guns from the son, who was clearly in the midst of a mental breakdown.
I believe she lived in the county that they lived in prior.
Yep. Instead, dad bought the boy ammunition, a gun sight, and other shooting accessories. Colt Gray then asked mom, please put me in a mental asylum. The teenager asked, put me in a mental asylum. I am not doing well. The plans fell apart when his parents started arguing again about his access to guns the day before. And his father made the excuse he didn't have the gas money to get him help.
I think it might be a and I'm all for charging reckless, inattentive, dumb parents with some sort of crime when their kids have easy, and they know their kid is, let's just say the elevator's not going to the top floor, and they let their kids have access to weapons when they know their kids are
in trouble.
Yeah.
Struggling
to say the least. I think a second degree murder charge against dad might be legally a bridge too far.
Why?
Even in Michigan, you may recall with the first case,
yep,
where the parents were charged.
Jennifer and James Crumley.
Correct. They were charged, I believe, with voluntary or involuntary manslaughter.
They were the first to be
convicted
in a U.S. mass shooting. Sentenced to at least 10 years in prison for not securing their firearm at home and, quote, acting indifferently to signs of their son's deteriorating mental health,
yeah,
before he killed four students in 2021. This idiot, dad in this case, clearly was acting indifferently and handed over the gun, ammunition, scope, and all of the other things when mom was saying, you know, in the other case, Scott, mom and dad were in tandem. In this case, mom was at least saying something is wrong. He needs help. You've got to restrict the access to your weapons. And it appears the dad said, go take a long walk off a short pier.
But just from a legal standpoint, to Scott's point, it doesn't second degree imply that he had to pull the trigger?
Well, here's what I would...
I don't think so, or they wouldn't have charged that, Sam.
Here's what I would argue regarding what they did charge, Dana, is prosecutors usually and should only charge what they think they can get a conviction on. And if I'm on that jury, I'm not convinced that you can convince me that this father engaged in second-degree murder.
But this was a grand jury that handed up this indictment. And so from here, maybe the prosecutor takes a look and says, look, now we have the indictment. We'll unseal this. This is what it says. We'll charge dad with this. The wider issue isn't, and the phones are already ringing. I'd love to hear from our parents on this and our educators. I think the wider issue is, you know, let's not necessarily get into the weeds of whether this is second-degree or manslaughter. Or the wider issue is the tide is starting to turn when it comes to the parents and the extreme, grotesque, irresponsible behavior when it comes to their very troubled children and firearms.
And I welcome this change. I do. I
oh, think, it is long overdue.
I think you and I are on the same page in if you know that your kid, well, first of all, it doesn't matter if your kid has mental issues or not. The guns should be secured in your home. But it gets even worse when you know that your kid has some issues or some struggles or whatever, and you either don't lock up your guns or in the case, as alleged, in this case out of Georgia, you give him more access to guns and weaponry. Clearly, this father should be charged. I'm not convinced you're going to get a jury to nail him on second degree murder.
If you look back at Columbine, and I've read Sue Klebold's book, I wish I had not. I am more educated because of it, but it's one of those books that I can't get it. I'll never be able to get it out of my head. And one of the things they said in the aftermath of that horror in Colorado was that those guns were hidden so well.
They were in a closet
ahead of time that the ATF, think about all of the law enforcement that would have been through both of those homes. They tore those houses apart as they should have after the mass shooting at Columbine, right? Klebold calls the ATF or FBI or police 3 months later, found a gun even law enforcement had not uncovered behind a fake paneled wall in Dylan Klebold's bedroom. That is a very different scenario than the case we are talking about here, where it's my right to have a gun. I'm going to share my love of shooting with my son, even though he's begging to be committed into a mental asylum, even though he has a fascination with school shooters. I'm going to give him accessories that somehow promote what has happened here. He should go directly to prison for that.
Well, and obviously dad's elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor either because he is spending...
Is he just reckless?
I'm assuming large sums of money on this gun, ammunition, sights, the whole nine. And then, I don't have any gas money to help my son.
I don't think that this is a mental issue with the dad. I think this is just extreme, reckless...
Callous.
Abandonment, callous behavior.
913-586-7798.
My ex-wife's not going to tell me what to do with my guns. That's what this is. This was a pissing match in between mom and dad.
Shane in Overland Park. Shane, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I still hard for me to talk about. I'm in my 50s, and my best friend was shot and killed in our 7th grade classroom and died in my lap. And I feel that if the parents of the shooter had locked up their guns, my best friend would still be alive to this day. So I think the father of this child should be charged because it's his responsibility to make sure that stuff doesn't get out.
Well, no dispute that he should be charged, but should he be charged with murder?
Yep.
Okay.
I full-heartedly believe that he should be charged with murder because had he had locked this stuff up, these people wouldn't have been murdered. The child couldn't have gone out and done what he did.
And Shane, we're so sorry about the loss of your friend. I think there's two discussions here. There's the parent who doesn't lock up the gun. I don't know where the gun's at. Go look. Is the gun where we think it is? There's scenario A, which is reckless. And then there's this scenario. I am going to ply my child with weaponry, knowing they have mental health issues. Those are both criminal in my mind when something like this happens. They're both crimes, but they're very different, and one is way worse.
Okay. 913-586-7798, 586.
Do you disagree?
I think
it's passive recklessness versus active recklessness. The passive recklessness is, I didn't lock it up.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he took it. Active recklessness is, here, take the gun. Your mom doesn't want you to have it. Have it. Here's a scope and a silencer, and what else do you want?
If you're asking me, do I think Dad's a DB? Yes, he is. But I also think he's overcharged. And your job as a prosecutor is to charge people with crimes you think you can get a conviction. And unless, and I'm talking a little bit too much inside baseball here, but you and I have been in way too many courtrooms over our careers. Unless you can charge him with second-degree murder and get a lesser included of either involuntary or voluntary manslaughter.
And those decisions will come. Now that the indictment's been handed up, those decisions will come from the DA's office and should.
Yeah.
And should.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.